Thank you. The Sefer Or Gedaliyahu is written by, it was Shmuzin from Rav Gedalia Shor Zatzal. He was the Rosh Hashiva of Torah Vidas, and a very remarkable personality. He was born in 1910. He passed away at the Sheva Brachos of the Talmud in 1979. And he had a very particular way of speaking, that he would close his eyes and turn his head to the side. He would just, it was like a lightning bolt, like a Mayan HaMisgaber, just constantly Torah thoughts and Chidushim. And he was really, Rav Aaron Cutler said about him, he was the first American-born Gadol. He spent some time learning in Europe, but he really was American. At the age of, I think, in his early 20s, maybe 22 or 23, he was asked to take over the highest shir from Rav Shlomo Heineman. He gave a daf yomi in Williamsburg. He was just, at a young age, he was just an ilui. And part of the uniqueness of Rav Gedalia Shor was that he would combine the highest level of learning, but he had a netiyah, an inclination. He came from a Hasidic background, Sfas Emes, and Tzaddok, and presenting these very, I'll call them, not inaccessible, but difficult svarim, in very practical, rephrasing them and formulating them in a way that the people in the Yeshiva Shevel could understand it. And his svarim, I think these are the last 3 years of the shiurim that he gave that they've written up. There's on that we have in Yantav, this is from Hanukkah. We have on the Chumash as well. They're beautiful, beautiful volumes. So I wanted to learn, if you look where there's Os Tes, we'll start with that. Now the background to understand what the connection is over here is that how could you cause somebody to forget? In other words, we say the Greeks try to get us to forget the Torah. How do you make somebody? I know I can make somebody remember something. I can quiz them. I could, you know, we talk about like jogging their memory or something like that. But how do you cause somebody to forget? An item could be forgotten. Like, I could forget something. We'd say in modern Hebrew, you know, shachachti, I forgot. Okay, like, you know, why didn't you do this? I'm sorry, I forgot. You told me I do it. I remember. Or we could say that something is nishkach, that it became forgotten. But what's the cause? To cause one to forget. So that's really what Rav Gedalia Shor is going to explain in this piece. So if you look what it says, Os Tes, and again, this isn't a shir, this is a running commentary, so any comments are encouraged or welcome. L'hashkicham Torah Secha, the Yevonim wanted to get us to forget your Torah. Ha'yevonim ratzi ligroim shichach ha'Torah. They wanted to cause a shichach ha'Torah, forgetfulness. U'matzinish hatzlichu b'ktsas. So we see they were a little bit successful because they're able to do something. They killed somebody. They killed one of the great rabbis. The Mishnah says in Sotah Mem Zayin, Isa Misha Meis Yosi Ben Yoezer Botel Hashkolos. When Yosi Ben Yoezer was killed, he died, so they stopped what's called the Eshkolos. So an Ish Hashkolos, it's a beautiful term. You know what an Eshkol is in modern Hebrew? It's a cluster of grapes, right? So in rabbinic literature, an ish eshkolos means that someone who's got everything. He's got his own cluster. He's got everything. I was once, I guess a lot of people give Rabbi Lamb svarim. He should be well. So I was once in the YU library, and like, you know, it was safe that I'd always been given, donated to Rabbi Lamb, somehow ended up in the YU library. Okay, I guess he had enough svarim in his home. I don't want to say what the safe was, but like in this beautiful, flowery introduction that wrote to Rabbi Lamb, the Ish HaShkolos, the man who's got everything. He's got Torah, and Mah, he's got everything, and okay, there was in the YU library. But the Ish HaShkolos, the way Rashi explains, he quotes, Mefarish Mayim Eshkolos, Omer Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, Ish Shehakol Bo. Somebody who's got everything. What does that mean to have everything? Pirush Rashi, Torah, he's got the true Torah, the Ein Dofi, there is no distortion, the Shichacha, there's no forgetfulness, Umachloikis, there's no disagreements. So Yosef ben Yezer had this, he was the Ish HaShkolos, that he had the Torah without any Dofi. Dofi is where it's being misrepresented. Right? He had the Emes, he had everything inside of him. Sometimes a person might know the halacha, but not understand the reason behind it, or might not understand in which case it applies. But Yosef was the one who was the Ish HaShkolos because he had everything. There was no machlokis. He understood the emes. He understood how to apply it correctly. V'neherag al yodam, and he was killed through them. So this is an idea that the Chassidus Sfarim talk about it, and Reb Tzadok has also listed, the Yevanim killed Yosef ben Yoezer. So they were the ones. So now, if you have someone who's Isha Shkalos, who's got everything, and Yevanim come and kill him, that's what it means. L'hashkiach Torasech, they caused it to be forgotten. V'oz b'yameihem hischil ha-Yevanim, v'neherag al-Yodam, v'az b'yameihem hischil shichas ha-Torah, v'Torah sheyesh bo doifi u'machlokes. So now that Yosef ben Yoezer was no longer alive, a new period of Torah began, a Torah that would have a period of time that had dofi, that would have confusion, machloka, could have arguments. So what it represents, the way that Rav Gedalia Shor is explaining, is a qualitative change. A qualitative change in the way we approach Torah. A lack of clarity. And that's one thing that the Yevanim were able to achieve, or tried to attempt, in their, to get us to forget the Torah. It says, Shichas HaTorah bo mechesoron devekis behabori. Forgetfulness happens when a person is not attached to Hashem. Ki im ha'adam davuk legamri b'Hashem yisborach. The person will be totally attached. Oz hu oneid lifnei Hashem. He's standing in front of Hashem. V'sham ein shaykh shichach l'kla. You can't forget anything when you're standing in front of him. So, I heard from Rabbi Aaron Lopiansky, Shlita. He used to teach at Isha Torah. And he gave an example of you know, in Washington Heights, we call them a bodega, right? Like a little mom and pop shops. In Eretz Yisrael, it's called a makolet, right? Makolet, okay. So it could be that, like, you know, these are fine, wonderful people who are owning their makolet. It might not be that they're super geniuses. But if you ask the owner of a makolet, you know, excuse me, do you have any bagels? Where's the butter? Where's the orange juice? So the butter, that's in the second row, third shelf from the top, right there. Right? The orange juice, it's on the second row of the left. Bagels, we know we have three different types. He'll tell you everything that's happening in his store, and he knows it. He doesn't have to be a super genius, but he knows where every single item is in the store, and he can tell you what we're out of, what we're doing, what's on sale. That. He knows it all. Why? Why does the
Makol...
Because it's his. Because he's living that reality. He's involved. It's not. You couldn't talk when you've forgotten what you have. It's not even shaykh to talk about forgetfulness to such a person because he's constantly involved in it. So said Rav Noach Weinberger, so that's the same thing by Torah. What happens when a person forgets the Torah? It's not in front of them. But a person who's living with Abai and Rava, with Hillel, Shammai, it's there. You're living it. You can't forget what it is. You know, give me an example. If a person ever has, everyone should be well and be safe, but if every person's ever seen a car accident, that action creates such a strong impression. That's a jarring image to the two cars hitting each other. And you don't forget that so easily. It made such an impression upon a person. Lahaf, the person opens up a Gemara, opens up a Chumash, learns a Ramban, learns an Ibn Ezra, a Kli Yakar, and makes such an impression upon the person that jarred me. I connected to that. I'm living with that. I'm in the store. I'm the owner of the makolet. I know where everything is. I can, you know, you have such a hiskashris to it. You can't talk about forgetting something because you're there.
Immersion.
You're immersed in it. You know, imagine you're at a chasana, your own chasana. Someone says Gevaldik, such a beautiful chasana. They take a picture of you dancing at your chasana. Say, here, I just want to give you a reminder of your chasana. They hand you the photograph at your wedding. You say, Chacham, I'm in the wedding itself. I don't need a photographer. I don't need a picture now. I need 6 months from now, 6 years from now, 60 years from now, and I'm sitting back with all the grandkids. Oh yeah, you remember the wedding? Okay, now I need something to remind myself. But when I'm there, when it's minei ube, when it's inside, when I'm experiencing in the moment, you don't forget your own chasa. I hope you don't forget your own chasa. But how could you forget? So he's saying now, this is a beautiful idea. He's going to give a chassidish pshat in when we talk about, literally, you know, we say by davening, Ein shichachol fnei kisei chavodecha. There's no forgetfulness in front of Hashem's throne, which means Hashem doesn't forget everything. But he's going to change it now, and he says, if you're standing in front of Hashem's throne, if you have Hashem's presence in your life, you can't forget Hashem. It's a different, it's true, but it's not posh pshat in what the verse is. So he says like this, there's no forgetfulness. When you're standing in the presence of the king, you can't forget about Hashem. You know, and sometimes that's the problem. We forget. Many, many different variations on the story, but some say it from the Chafetz Chaim, some say in the name of Rabbi Levi Yitzhak ben Sarasasha, the Kedushas Levi, that he once gave a clap on the shtender and everyone stopped learning. He says, Rabbi Yisai, I just want to remind you, as Ribono Shalom in the world. These are people who are sitting learning in yeshiva. It's not like, you know, sometimes we lose focus that we don't see the Dvar Hashem emerging from that Daf Gemara. V'chein metzinis sha'amar etzel haluchos harishonos midin v'lo hayishochim. They would learn from the first set of luchos. They would not forget. Why is that? Why did they forget? Ki v'luchos rishonos shahayalehem devekus abari legamre. They were totally there. They were totally attached. They were like godliness. They were like Elokim Atem. You're such a high attached. So you can't forget something when you're in the zone, when you're connected. And what the Yevanim wanted to do was to remove that, to take that away. Continuing on the backside. Shel Yisroel, they wanted to get us to darken our eyes. Rotzu gam kin shiyavu lehem shichas haTorah. Okay. So if you think about it, it points out that the same letters of Choshech is the same thing as Shichacha. To forget the darkness that the Yevanim tried to bring is so. What does that mean, Al Pidrush? When we're lighting up the darkness, we're removing the Choshech, we're removing the Shichacha, we're removing the forgetfulness. What we're talking now is not about increasing our quantity of learning, we're talking about increasing our quality of learning. When Chanukah comes, Chanukah is like from the word chinuch, right? To rededicate ourselves, a Chanukah sabayis, right? A Chanukah sefer Torah, whatever you talk about rededicating ourselves. Of chinuch, chinuch is to start again, to remind ourselves and to create a sense of devekus with the Kodesh Baruch, that we're attached to, so we understand why we're learning. Someone mentioned to me, I don't want to say who, someone mentioned to me that the boys were asked why we're learning in yeshiva, and they weren't able to give a satisfactory answer. They couldn't articulate clearly to one of their non-Jewish teachers what exactly it was that they were doing, learning. Spending the majority of their waking hours sitting and learning a Gemara Rashi Tosis, and they can't give over why we're doing this. They knew what it was. If they asked them to say over a...
Asked,
you know, it was part of the classroom discussion. It wasn't like it was trying to get them. He just wanted them to be able to explain. And the kids couldn't do it.
Think a little bit.
But they couldn't articulate why we're doing what we're doing. So let's turn the question on ourselves. If we would meet a stranger on the street and says, "Excuse me, I see you guys. You're getting up early in the morning. You're coming to this Dir Shua learning at 6 o'clock in the morning. You're davening chakras. You're going to your work. You're coming home. You're learning. Why are you doing this? Why are you learning Torah? What are you doing it for?" So would we be able to articulate, because I feel devekus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because I'm attaching myself to Hashem when I'm learning, I see the Dvar Hashem emerging from the Daf. I'm in God's presence when I open up my Gemara. Rav Soloveitchik, fascinating. He would relate some of his very personal stories about himself, and he writes to it. He had a triple avelus during a 13-month period, triple avelus, and he writes how it was very difficult for him, obviously. And he felt when he was learning, he felt almost HaKadosh Baruch Hu with him in that act of learning Torah. He felt, this cold misnagid who had a heart on fire, felt HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence while he was learning. He describes in vivid detail in his writings. So part of Chanukah is to the fire of Chanukah is to light up that shichacha, to light up the darkness, means to light up the forgetfulness, to not to be forgetful of the connection with Hashem. So now he has a new knetch, a new aspect of the forgetfulness. And the next paragraph, where it's underlined, says shichacha bo michesorn hachischadshus. So shichacha, forgetfulness, comes through lacking a newness. Ki ayde mashe hadaver nisyashin etzlo boli de shichacha. When it becomes old to a person, then it becomes forgetful. Avamisha omed mehischadshus tomid. A person who is constantly new, it's constantly exciting, you don't forget that. Because of Parshas Haman, kach tzintzenes achas, right, about the commandment to take the flask, by in the Aron itself, we had the luchos, we were also commanded to take a flask of the mon, and to put it in there as a reminder for all generations. So sima tzafas paneach, that's the rogachover. The Rosh Hashanah asks a question. Hello, Biman, High Apostle Lina. So there is a prohibition of leaving anything over overnight in the base of Migdash. It becomes disqualified. So the Rosh Hashanah asks, why wasn't the man that's left over? Why didn't it become apostle? So Rabbi Lopiansky said it's really not a kasha because the Kodesh Baruch Hu said to do it. So that overrides everything. But okay, it's, he wants to use it to bring out a certain yisod.
It's also a different malchum, right? Inside the iron itself.
It's in the mikdash.
But it's almost like a separate spot.
To put an
aura in his own. Okay, it's a separate shush, but even if he had a separate shush, it'd still be lina, right? It's not that if I put a separate shush, it doesn't take away the psul. It is right. He actually says that the malchum ha aron ena min hamida. Where physically the aron itself didn't take up any space in the that would mean like this. I think he gave an example in a different class. Imagine this table is the space of the aron, right? So if you'd measure from this end of the table to the wall, and from this end of the table to the wall, it'd be like what's called 20 feet. And if you just not measure during the space of where the aron was, if you just measure from that wall, it'd also be 20 feet. So it, according to math, it doesn't work. You get an F on your geometry on your algebra test if you wrote that. But in the it says that the arm was ena min hamida, that didn't take up any space. So again, what the Rav Shmuel is asking, why isn't it a problem of keeping them on overnight? Because they're one. So he says like this, lost my spot. Ach aman shehan nicho lifnei Hashem lo hayashayach zeh ki sham hadavar kesedah hischadshus. Because in the Mokam HaMikdash is the place of continuous renewal. Lo shayach hamusag shalina, doesn't get left over. She'ein bo shum his yashnus lifnei Hashem. Because when something is in front of Hashem, it doesn't become old. Yoshan. Right? Yashen is sleeping, Yoshan is old. So it doesn't become Yoshan. Okay? V'k'im ha'odim oimi lifnei Hashem, person standing in front of Hashem, who dovek v'chol ramach evorav shesaw gidov ha'bor yisborach, he's attached with those 248 limbs, his 365 sinews to Hashem. As hu oimi lifnei Hashem v'lo shaykh etz l'hamusok shal his yashnus. Then it doesn't make any sense to speak about growing old. Hu tomim b'hischach, he's constantly renewing himself. V'chim ba'odim kezesh lo shaykh etz l'his yashnus lo shaykh etz l'gam shichacha. He can't forget either. If it's constantly new and exciting, he will not forget it. Ki im hu behis chadshus as hadover hu etzlo ki ilu achshav lamdu v'lo shaych shichakla. I'm learning it right now, that it's fresh. So why is it that you can't have, why is it, Taka, that you cannot have something left over in the base of Migdash?
So every day it should be fresh.
It should be fresh. It's not a covenant to the melech. You don't serve a king, Yeah, these bagels are delicious, but I don't know how long they've been out for, right? you're high king. Let me give you a geschmack bagel. Is how old is it? 9 days old. 9 days old. What? That's what you serve the king? Just toast it up a little bit. So where was the toaster? The toaster lahavdil was by the lechem haponim. The lechem haponim stood on the shulchan for 9 days, and the kohanim, when they would switch the loaves, they'd bring them up, they'd hold it up there, and they would show it was hot, like it came fresh out of the oven. It was still warm. Yeah. It was. Still, we got to get that in shul. How to get the bagels warm for 9 days? How did it do it? So the vort is like this. Rav Wolfson explains, because when you're in the place of hischadshus, you're in the place, the makom of bracious, of complete beginning, then it's not, nothing grows old there. There's a Gemara in Yuma which talks about the Evan Shasia. Do you know what the Evan Shasiyah was? The stone, the foundation stone where the whole world emerged from that place. And when you're connected to that, it's the spot where the world expanded from. So that's like, it's the Mokum of Rashis. It's the place we're beginning. When you're in there, when the challah, when the bread is in the place of Hischadshus, the place of Rashis, you cannot talk about it growing stale, it cannot grow old, and you can't forget it. When you're in the place, when it's so new and exciting, that's what the Divrei Torah should be brand new to us every single day. So a new vort. The first thing we said by the Shechacha comes from not being in front of the presence of Hashem. But the second aspect is that there's a Hischadshus, that sense of constant renewal and excitement about it. You know, when a person is excited to do something and it's new and I'm learning so many new things, so that creates, you don't forget something like that. Yeah, when you forget and you're bored and I've heard this already. I think there was a vort, I think the story was of Achan and Wasserman, that they went to hear a shir from the Chafetz Chaim, and then he said over a very similar shir a year later, a few years later actually, and one of the listeners to the shir turned to Achan and Wasserman and said, "That's the same shir that the Chafetz Chaim gave years ago." And Rav Chanan said, "No, he changed four words." There were four different words, meaning that's hischat. That's when it's brand new in front. Okay.
So isn't there something even more basic that you could say when it causes the forgetfulness? I mean, can't you just say that they filled their head with something else? Like the Greeks in particular, you know, that they were trying to give them other ideas, which is an act of, if not direct, at least indirect forgetfulness, because it's removing their mind from focusing on...
distracting them.
Yeah.
So that's true. A person can very much, you know, you can't... There's a limit to how much we can think about. But he's saying not in terms of... I mean, that's true, obviously. But he's saying it differently. He's saying that to change the approach to Torah, that's what the Yevanim were coming to do, is to get us to change the way that we understand and relate to learning Torah. And that's what Chanukah is. I'm going to skip and go to the last paragraph. It says, Chanukah hu hazman lehizgabel shichas haTorah. So Chanukah is the time when we're able to overcome this forgetting of the Torah. So, you know, the zman for lighting is ad shetich l'regel min hashuk, right? So what does that literally mean? The regel is what part of the body? Your foot. So when the foot leaves, that's the zman. Okay, that's the halacha. Chidush Harim says, Tichla regel hashuk means not when the people leave, when you get the regel to leave. Regel is the foot. It, the Hebrew word, the English word regular, is derived from regel, right? So it's when you get everything that becomes regular to you leaves. Again, you hear? Literally, it means when the foot, the regel, tichla regel hashuk means when the foot's going out. But no, when I do on a, when I'm a creature of habit, right? That's what Chanukah comes to break. Yeah, I daven every day because that's what I do. I get up in the morning, I go daven. Yes, I say birkas hamazon because that's what I do. Okay, yes, I do this. I give tzedakah. That's what I do. But to break the regilus, not I'm like a robot, like a koif bifnei adam. I'm just going through the motions, but I feel a sense of hischadshus and a passion towards what I'm doing. I understand why I'm doing it. I reconnect. So Chanukah is a chinuch, is a beginning. And again, he's quoting from the Chiddush Harim, which he does frequently in the Sefer. It's a beautiful limud. So he explained that's when you get this oldness to leave when doing our mitzvahs. Uvezehu misgaber al shichas haTorah. That's how we overcome our forgetfulness. Kimo az mehachashmanoim shechaziru haTorah liyoshno. They return the crown to its original glory. Aleheim nishtakach Torah miYisrael. If it hadn't been for this, it would have become forgotten. Kimo shekasu Ramban parshas vayechiv lechein nase hanes b'shemen zayis. That's why the miracle happens specifically with shemen. So I just want to end with a nice vort as to what's the depth of oil. So different interpreters give. One thing is that oil and water don't mix, right? Oil always rises to the top, so it shows that the Jewish people are separate. We're going to remain separate, not going to become mixed in. Bnei Yisrael also gives a different understanding, an alternative understanding of why bedavka the miracle happened through shemen. You know, imagine here I got two cups. Okay, so when I'm pouring, if I pour water, I pour orange juice, I pour coffee into one cup. So basically, more or less, when I pour it out into the cup, so whatever was in this original one will be gone. Maybe one or two little drops. So if I just, you know, I give a few pulls, whatever, it'll come out. What if I put oil in this cup? What if I put oil in the cup, and now I'm pouring out the oil? What's going to happen to the original cup? There's always going to be that film. There's going to be that residue. There's going to be something that remains. Gevalt, says the Bnei Yisrael. You know why the Nes of Shemen came? There was no more Nevuah. Hashem had stopped talking to the Jewish people. So we thought, that's it. We're done. God has said goodbye. He says, no. Hashem gives us a goodbye kiss. I'm going to give you a little bit of Shemen. There's going to be a residue. There's going to be something that will remain with the Jewish people. The last Yom Tov we have. The final Yom Tov. The Yom Tov Durabonin. That gives us the koch to last through all the Choshech. All of the Shichacha. Everything that the Yevanim, which is nowadays, you know, society is trying to get us to forget, there's still that residue, that film, like you said, Joey, of oil that remains with us. It never leaves. That's the depth behind the luz, that bone, that part of the piece of emes that's still inside of everybody's neshama. They can never be destroyed, and Chanukah is never going to leave. That's the pach shemen that Yaakov Avinu goes back to get. That little bit, that's the pintel yid, that's the mogen Avraham, that's that shield inside of us. That's that each one of us has inside of us a little bit of a pach shemen that has the chesima that's sealed with the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, the real Kohen Gadol is Avraham Avinu. We have a koch of the pintel yid that's going to keep us strong, and Hashem shows that to us through oil through the shemen, that as far away as you go, there's going to be something that will always remain. And we celebrate that. And a person can feel, look, you know, where was I? Where have I been since the last Hanukkah? It's been a year since the last Hanukkah. I did all sorts of crazy things. I forgot about Hashem. I didn't realize. I didn't feel when I was doing mitzvahs that I was omid lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But now comes the time for a chinuch. And yes, maybe all of us have drifted a little bit. But Hanukkah comes in and is a chance to be mechadish ourselves, to recreate ourselves. There's a zman of that by the Yom and the Royim, obviously Rosh Hashanah, obviously Yom Kippur, but Hanukkah also. Hanukkah is also, and that perhaps connects to the final teaching of the Arizal, that really there is a, in certain aspect, that the final chasima takes place on Zos Hanukkah. That even though, yes, Rosh Hashanah, and the Seres Yimei Tshuva, and Yom Kippur, and a Hoshana Rabbah, in a certain aspect, it's a Nayar Zach that was revealed in future generations, that on a certain aspect, really, really, the din is suspended until Zos Chanukah. So it's a chance to recreate ourselves and to reattach ourselves to these truths that we know to be self-evident. Okay. She's going through. Any questions?
I've always found it curious that the Reform observe Chanukah.
Yeah.
They just take that out of the calendar.